நீங்கள் SBS தமிழோடு இணைந்துள்ளீர்கள்.
வணக்கம் ஷெரீன் தேவனேசன்.
வணக்கம்.
கங்கிராச்சுலேஷன்ஸ் ஆன் பீயிங் அவார்டட் தி ஆர்டர் ஆஃப் ஆஸ்திரேலியா AM அவார்ட் ஃபார் சிக்னிஃபிகன்ட் சர்வீஸ் டு கம்யூனிட்டி ஹெல்த் த்ரூ கவர்னன்ஸ் அண்ட் அட்மினிஸ்ட்ரேட்டிவ் ரோல்ஸ். Congratulations.
Thank you. I've been very fortunate. I'm very grateful for the opportunities that I have been provided. I've had the privilege of working with and learning from capable and dedicated people throughout my working life. And I've had the unconditional support of family and close friends. And I guess I've been lucky. I've often been in the right place at the right time. But thank you.
In your nomination for this award, the Governor General's office had mentioned of your work with Wesley Mission Victoria, Southern Melbourne Integrated Cancer Service,
yes.
Victorian Quality Council and Royal Australian College of Medical Administrators.
Yes.
Can I understand that you are still involved in some of these organizations?
Yes.
Apart from all this, listeners would be interested in knowing your background.
All right.
Can you elaborate on where you were born, when and how you migrated to Australia, and so on?
I was born in the Nilgiris in Tamil Nadu in South India. And I was very fortunate to be able to go to Lawrence School, Lovedale, in the Nilgiris in South India. My father was an army officer, and my sister and I, we lost our father at a young age when he was killed in the war between India and China. So we were brought up by my mother, who is a significant influence in my life. She taught us to live a life of service to others, and she led by example, and she sacrificed a lot to enable us to have a good education. I studied medicine at Christian Medical College, Velo, again in South India, and the motto of that organization is not to be ministered unto, but to minister. So I guess the path that I would take was probably determined quite early in my life. After I graduated from Velo, I worked in rural India, and then I had the opportunity to live and work in Central Australia, and that was 50 years ago. I had to sit the Australian Medical Council exams to be registered as a doctor in Australia, and I worked both at the Alice Springs Hospital and at the Aboriginal Medical Service in Alice Springs. And I was keen on specializing in obstetrics, but I was encouraged to go into medical administration. And after living in 10 years in Alice Springs, I moved to the Royal Darwin Hospital, where I was a deputy director of medical services, and I worked there for 3 years. And then I moved to Melbourne, and I've been in Melbourne for the last 37 years or so.
What made you move to Central Australia? Was it a push or a pull?
It was an opportunity that came up. And the reason I took the opportunity was I was working in rural India, and I thought it would be good to learn from a developed nation how they provided health services to vulnerable people, mainly the First Nations people of this country. So I thought it was a good opportunity to come here and learn. And it was an excellent opportunity, but one thing led to another, and I never went back to India, and I just continued my career in Australia.
When you first got here, was the White Australia policy still in action, or had that been abolished by then?
No, I don't think the White Australia policy was in action. But I think there's always a little bit of a subconscious bias towards people from a different cultural background about our capabilities. But I didn't actually let that worry me too much. I just seized the opportunity and did the best job that I could.
You worked a lot with the Aboriginal community, you said. What had been your observation? Did you find that their way of living and our culture has a lot of similarities?
Some similarities with regard to the disadvantage, and particularly with regard to the health outcomes of people in our Indian rural villages particularly, and in remote Aboriginal communities. So I worked in Central Australia and interacted with people that came from settlements within Central Australia. And I think the strength that both countries have on extended family and the support of extended family and the responsibilities towards extended family, I think that occurs in both cultures. But there are differences as well. I mean, I wouldn't profess to be an expert on Aboriginal culture. And it's also been quite a while since I worked in Central Australia. But it was a very rewarding experience for me.
Tell us more about your work now in Melbourne.
When I moved to Melbourne, I had already been the Deputy Medical Director at Royal Darwin Hospital. But when I came to Melbourne, I actually applied for 5 jobs before I was offered the role of the Deputy Director of Medical Services at Frankston Hospital on the Mornington Peninsula. I'm very thankful for having been given that opportunity. Frankston Hospital then became part of a larger organization called Peninsula Health. And I did 2 stints at Peninsula Health over a 25-year period. And the final role that I had was the CEO of the organization for 13 years. During that time, I also obtained the fellowship of the Royal Australasian College of Medical Administrators and went on to become the president of that college. During that time, I was invited to participate in an external review of the SARS epidemic in Hong Kong. So that was also another very valuable learning opportunity, and I got to meet with very experienced people. While I was at Peninsula Health, I was invited to join the board of Wesley Mission Victoria. That was an organization that provided services to people with disability. And it was the first time that I learned from people with disability about their aspirations. So then in 2014, when the NDIS was being introduced to Australia for the first time, I was asked to consider joining EURELA, which is a disability service organization that's been around for a very long time. And I thought it would be a good opportunity to be involved with this kind of groundbreaking reform in the support of people with disability. So I left Peninsula Health and joined EURELA. I was there for 7 years, 6 of them as the CEO. And that was quite a challenging and rewarding experience. When I arrived at EURELA, I realized that there had been instances of serious and criminal abuse against people with disability, and that this came to light publicly in a Four Corners program that was aired in November 2014. So there was an urgent need to implement significant reform and change, which we were able to do over a period of time, and as a result of which I was also called upon to be a witness at the Disability Royal Commission. And thankfully, we were able to turn around the culture and implement and sustain a good safeguarding framework and regain the trust of the users of the service and their families. So that was how I came to move from working in a public hospital or a public health service to disability.
Did your work with SARS pandemic in Hong Kong help you in any way when the COVID pandemic hit here in Australia?
Absolutely, definitely. So when the COVID pandemic occurred, I was actually working at EURELA. And in the early days, there was not much of a focus on the disability organizations and the for-purpose sector. There were no vaccinations and there was limited personal protective equipment. Correctly and rightly was all going to the major hospitals that were dealing with the worst cases of the pandemic. But because I am medically qualified and because of my experience with the SARS epidemic, I think that enabled EURELA to implement the necessary mechanisms to manage the pandemic in the absence of personal protective equipment and any vaccinations. In fact, members of the community that supported the organization actually made gowns for disability support workers because we were unable to access personal protective equipment in the early days. And we were able to establish a facility within EURELA where we managed some of our customers who are residents who got COVID in that facility without needing to transfer them to hospitals because the hospitals were already pretty challenged with the numbers. So I think, yes, it did definitely play a significant role, but also my training and my background.
Based on your experience, Shireen, Do you have any specific advice for young professionals who may be listening to this program?
I've also been lucky, Sanjay, in being able to be on boards of governance. So I'm currently the chair of the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital Board, and it's a premier organization providing specialized services for people with vision and hearing loss. And it's a great privilege to work with the high-end clinicians and to see their commitment and the work that they do and the research that they perform. So that's been a different experience, but very good. And I'm also a director on the board of Northern Health, which is an outer metropolitan large public health service in the north of Melbourne. It serves a very multicultural community, and it's an organization that is very responsive to the needs of the multicultural community. So it is a great privilege to be on that board as well. And I suppose what I would like to say is that, you know, what I have been involved in has been as a result of the people that I have been fortunate to meet and to learn from and to work with. But if I was to want to kind of leave a message, it would be that I hope that this recognition will encourage those who come from diverse backgrounds to feel confident in their ability to become meaningfully engaged in the community. And I also hope that people in leadership positions will be reassured in their pursuit of greater diversity.
Well put, Shireen Devanesan. We appreciate your time and your comments. And from SBS Tamil Radio, we congratulate you again and wish you all the very best in your future endeavors. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
இது போன்ற மேலும் பல நிகழ்ச்சிகளை கேட்க வேண்டுமா? ஆப்பிள் பாட்காஸ்ட், கூகுள் பாட்காஸ்ட், ஸ்பாட்டிஃபை என்று பாட்காஸ்ட் கிடைக்கும் பல வழிகளில் நீங்கள் நிகழ்ச்சிகளை கேட்கலாம்.